Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
And gradually becoming sunny with the high in the mid-40s. Right now, 48 degrees in Nashville at 11 o'clock.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle.
And I'm Peter Sagal. You ever get a little nostalgic for the aughts? Those great days of 2003 when 50 Cent and R. Kelly ruled the charts and we all helped define Nemo and we enjoyed invading a Middle Eastern country. Well, we'll ask who's going to benefit from this burst, and I do mean burst of nostalgia. Plus, actor Alec Baldwin comes on to talk about how to get ahead in public radio. And Carl Castle lets us know there are some things even he won't do.
I'm not going to set my hair on fire.
We'll ask who's really keeping the flame away from the main on our quiz, coming up right after this hour's news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. President Obama is kicking off a week of Middle East diplomacy with an address in Washington to AIPAC, the foremost pro-Israel lobby.
The U.S.-Israel relationship is simply too important to be distorted by partisan politics. America's national security is too important. Israel's security is too important.
The president's pledging that the U.S. will continue to stand for the defense of Israel, as NPR's Scott Horsley tells us. The speech comes ahead of a White House meeting with Israel's prime minister.
President Obama told a reporter for The Atlantic magazine the U.S. would use military force if necessary to prevent Iran from developing a nuclear weapon, adding, quote, as president of the United States, I don't bluff. The interview is meant to reassure Israel that the U.S. has its back and prevent that country from launching its own strike on Iran. Mr. Obama warns an Israeli attack on Iran could be a distraction, allowing Iran to portray itself as a victim at a time when the Iranian government is increasingly isolated. Mr. Obama will try to make this case in person to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Monday. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
3 days ahead of Super Tuesday primaries, number two House Republican Eric Cantor of Virginia is endorsing GOP presidential hopeful Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney is the only candidate in the race who's put forward a bold, pro-growth, pro-jobs plan for the future.
Cantor spoke on NBC's Meet the Press. Mitt Romney scored a double-digit victory in Washington state's caucuses this weekend, his fifth straight win, including the non-binding straw poll in Wyoming. NPR's Tamara Keith is traveling with the Romney campaign.
At all of his events, Romney makes the case that he's the candidate best equipped to repair the economy and take on President Obama in November.
He's out of ideas. He's out of excuses, and in 2012, we're going to make sure he's out of a job.
Yeah! Romney campaigns in Georgia and Tennessee today, two Super Tuesday states with a combined total of more than 130 delegates at stake, and where polls show his opponents leading. Then he returns to Ohio, where he's already held campaign events 3 days over the past week. Tamara Keith, NPR News, Cincinnati.
Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich predicting that come November there will be GOP unity. He spoke on NBC's Meet the Press.
People shouldn't be at all confused about that. The re-election of Barack Obama is such a disaster to the future of this country that I think you'll find the Republican candidates come firmly together behind the nominee.
Russians voting for president today appear to have elected Prime Minister Vladimir Putin to another term as president of Russia. This is NPR News. A number of World War II cemeteries containing European remains have been attacked in Libya by groups of armed men. Larry Miller reports it's believed to be retaliation for the burning of the Quran by U.S. soldiers last month in Afghanistan.
Video footage shows armed Libyans kicking down tombstones at British and Commonwealth war cemeteries in Benghazi while shouting Christian dogs. A Jewish memorial was also broken. Around 190 tombstones were damaged. The video also shows a Libyan on a ladder hammering away at a large cross. There was a separate attack at the Italian War Grave Cemetery. The British Foreign Office condemned the desecration, formally complaining to Libyan authorities. The National Transitional Council says it deeply regrets the incident and pledges to restore the cemeteries and prosecute those involved. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
At least 36 people died in a streak of tornadoes across five states this weekend. Today, the search for survivors continues in the hard-hit state of Indiana. State Police Sergeant Jerry Gooden.
We've got about a 4 or 5 county area here, about a 50-mile stretch of area that's just like this. It's total devastation. And we've spent the first 2 days, obviously, doing nothing but searching every single home.
He spoke on NBC's Today Show. Crews are combing through shredded homes and obliterated neighborhoods in hard-hit states. There have been deaths in Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, Alabama, and Georgia. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Doris Duke Foundation for Islamic Art, seeking to increase Americans' understanding of Muslim cultures through the arts and media.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much. Oh, you're too kind. We have got a great show for you today. Alec Baldwin is joining us to play our game. That's pretty cool. We were really excited, and we wanted to start the show with him, frankly. But he was busy playing this word game on his phone. And you know how he gets when he's interrupted. So while we're waiting for him to figure out how to place that cue in a triple word score, we're going to give you a chance to play. Give us the call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Heather Huber from Wyomissing, Pennsylvania.
Wyomissing, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, why are you missing?
Where is Wyomissing?
Just outside Reading, Pennsylvania, which is famous via Monopoly for the railroad.
Oh, yeah, the Reading, what is it, the Reading Railroad?
Yeah.
Or has everyone called it their whole life the Reading Railroad?
Indeed. Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, Heather. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a stand-up comedian and a last comic standing champion, Mr. Alonzo Bowden.
Howdy.
Can I say that Wyomissing is one of the three towns in America I haven't worked?
There you are. And host of the Too Beautiful to Live podcast, it's Mr. Luke Burbank.
Hi, Heather.
And lastly, one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
It's going to drive me crazy. How did your town get that name?
I think the town was named by Nancy Grace.
Yeah, why?
We're groaning already.
We are. All right. Heather, welcome to our show. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine. You ready to play?
I am.
All right. Here is your first quote.
I'm not going to set my hair on fire.
Now, that was a GOP nominee who, were he to set his hair on fire, would block out the sun with the smoke. Who was it?
Mitt Romney.
Yes, Mitt Romney. Yes. Now, Mr. Romney, very good. Romney did a rare press conference right before the Michigan primary this week, and he tried to explain why he wasn't doing that well in his home state. He said he would not pander just to try and fire up the base. And it's true, throughout his campaign, he has consistently not tried to fire up anyone. And now, of course, the reason he was doing so poorly in his home state wasn't what he refused to say, it's what he did say. At a NASCAR race, he said that he didn't, quote, follow the sport as closely as some of the most ardent fans, but I have some great friends that are NASCAR team owners, unquote. Then, trying to show his enthusiasm for American cars, he said his wife had, quote, a couple of Cadillacs. When this guy criticized as being a little out of touch, you know, he defended himself. This is how he defended himself. He said, come on, his wife needed that many Cadillacs, one for each of their homes. And then there's a third Cadillac she uses to get from one Cadillac to the other.
I don't hear what's not relatable about that.
Yeah.
At this point, even the brothers aren't owning a few Cadillacs.
Who knew Mitt Romney was living in a Jay-Z video?
Well, don't you think it would be better if he would just stop pretending to be human?
If you just pull off the rubber mask.
Yeah, he's a robot. He can't set the hair on fire because the automatic fire suppression system would kick in.
You know what was amazing?
I can't do that, Mitt.
Very good. Here is your next quote.
If you liked Afghanistan and Iraq, you're going to love this.
That was one of the many comments zinging around on Twitter this week, warning us of an impending war with whom?
Iran.
Yes, Iran. Very good. We're going to have a war with Iran. That's exciting. So, did you enjoy the first Iraq war? Did you love the second one? Well, sadly, there's nothing left to blow up in that country. But don't worry, Middle East quagmire lovers. There's a whole unblowed up country right next door. To war fans, Iran looks just like a completely unpopped sheet of bubble wrap. You just can't keep your hands off it. Like, oh, let's do it. So in addition to Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich and John Bolton, among others, threatening war against Iran, you've got Israel basically saying to the U.S., you'll know we decided to go ahead and blow up Iran when you hear a big boom.
You know, starting a war with Israel, I think Iran needs to call Egypt, and they'll be like, ooh, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
You don't start up with them, because they might take a week to end it.
Yeah. The other day, and this is true, Congress had a hearing on whether the government of Iran was, quote, rational. Our Congress did that. Later that day, a group of pots held a hearing on whether kettles were black. So, okay, here is your last quote, Heather.
Well, grown-ups, you no longer have to hide your copies of her books during your morning commute.
That was a writer in Time magazine talking about what famed children's author who's now writing a book for adults.
J.K. Rowling?
Yes, J.K. Rowling. Very good. The author of the Harry Potter books has announced she's going to be writing an adult novel, and people have gone nuts in anticipation. But nobody knows what it's going to be. She hasn't said. Will it be the wizards in the Harry Potter books, all grown up and dealing with life as middle-aged wizards? I'm sorry, Hermione, my wand just doesn't seem to work anymore.
In the last movie, wasn't Harry about 40 years old?
It was, I mean, yeah.
It's become an adult story.
It's gotten to the point where, like, Harry's Patronus is Matlock.
I'm so sad I understood that joke.
Of the midlife crisis of your average
wizard. Well, you know what happens. You have a midlife crisis, Harry goes out there and gets a convertible broom. He's not fooling anyone.
He gets drunk at the bar and talks about how they could have been state champs at Quidditch.
And when J.K. Rowling says it's going to be an adult novel, does she mean like grown-ups? Is it going to be a sophisticated literary adventure about a billionaire author torn between the two countries she's deciding on buying? Or does she mean, like, adult, you know? Is it going to be her own Harry Potter slash fiction? Harry Potter and the Other Chamber of Secrets?
I guess we don't get to talk about phoenixes then.
No.
By the way, if your phoenix rises for more than 4 hours, yeah, see a doctor.
Carl, how did Heather do in our quiz?
Heather, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail or home answering machine.
Well done, Heather. Thank you so much. Thanks so much for playing, Heather.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. We want to remind everybody that they can join us here most weeks at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago. For tickets to our shows and more information, you can go to WBEZ.org, and you can also find a link at our website, which is waitwait.npr.org. Okay, panel, time for you, of course, to answer some questions about this week's news. Luke, there's a lot of tension between Greece and Germany. It's Germany that holds most of the debt that Greece can't pay. German Chancellor Angela Merkel handled a stressful situation in Greece this week. When what happened?
Someone borrowed her David Hasselhoff CD and didn't
know
that. I think actually it was when the waiter spilled a tray of beers down her back.
That's exactly what happened. 5 glasses of beer. It's on YouTube. It's great. Walking by, splash right down Angela Merkel's back. She was at a meeting for the Christian Democratic Union. They apparently like to party. Waiter spilled the tray of 5 beers down her back. Being German, she immediately whipped off her suit jacket and started to wring the beer into her mouth. Actually, it was amazing, this is true, how well she handled it. With real grace and aplomb, she didn't get angry. Almost as if, you know, this happened all the time. Or maybe she was just happy something had finally washed the feeling of George W. Bush's hands off her shoulders.
It's actually such a sad story for the guy who was bringing the beer, because he wasn't even supposed to be the person who brought the beer to her. Somebody else was supposed to do it, and they got too nervous.
Really?
This is a
And he's like,
story.
No problem, I can handle this.
Yes, exactly. And then he's standing there, and it isn't even his fault. It's
somebody
like,
bumped into
yeah,
him, yeah?
Secret Service, or Der Secret Service. I speak a little German.
Not that.
behind him and bumped into him, and I mean... They're never going to let him forget that at Der Applebee's.
Yeah. On the plus side, that guy just got elected president of Greece, so apparently it worked out okay. Coming up, the beautiful get beautifuler. It's our Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and WNYC, presenting Alec Baldwin's new podcast series, Here's the Thing, with guests like Lorne Michaels and Chris Rock. Here'sthething.org. Pimsleur Language Programs, whose unlimited series offers the potential to record an answering machine greeting in a foreign language at Barnes & Noble Booksellers. And Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
On the next On Being, uncovering the codes for reality. S. James Gates is a string theorist, a physicist on frontiers that stretch our imaginations about the fundamental nature of reality. And he's working to evolve the language of mathematics to tell a fuller story of what we're made of. Do we live in the Matrix? I'm Krista Tippett. Please join me from APM.
Weekday mornings from 9 till 11.
On the next Fresh Air, how we form habits and how we can break them. We talk with Charles Duhigg about what neuroscientists call the habit loop, cues, triggers, and rewards.
If you want to quit smoking, you should stop smoking while you're on a vacation.
Duhigg's new book is The Power of Habit. Join us.
Weekdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
You're You're listening to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me here on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. It's 19 minutes after 11, 46 degrees in Nashville.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle. We're playing this week with Luke Burbank, Roxanne Roberts, and Alonzo Bowden. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Colonel. Right now it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Bluff the Listener Game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our games in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
This is Craig Kanner. I'm calling from Brewster, New York.
Brewster, New York. Brewster is, like, in Westchester, yes?
No, it's in Putnam County, right along the Danbury, Connecticut border.
What do you do there in Brewster?
I'm a manager at a quick lube car wash facility in Brewster.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Is that interesting work?
It can be, but...
Well, let's be honest. We don't need the windshield wipers replaced, really, though, right? Is that just a thing you guys say?
Yeah, that's just kind of our...
Well, welcome to the show, Craig. You're going to play the game of which you must tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Craig's topic?
My eyeshadow is made from recycled MacBooks.
Standards of beauty change over time. It wasn't that long ago that women were wearing girdles and high heels, and men were wearing girdles and high heels and terrified anyone would find out. Well, this week we read about the latest trend in modern fashion, a new look for the new world. Each of our panelists are going to tell you about modern advancements in beauty. Only one is real. Guess that true story, you'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. Ready to play?
Yes, ma'am.
First, let's hear from Alonzo Bowden.
MVP, the most valuable pill. So we've had Viagra for years, but there's a drawback that no one talks about. Sure, you can perform like a 25-year-old, but you still look like a 65-year-old, which you are. So enter the latest pharmaceutical innovation, the MVP, or most valuable pill. It's a dose of Viagra plus a form of ingestible Botox guaranteed to at least temporarily smooth out those wrinkles, plus 8 cups of coffee's worth of caffeine, because, its inventor says, wide staring eyes can make you look a decade younger and remove that creepy factor. The pill was invented by urologist Dr. Martin Horton of Salt Lake City, who said that many of his Viagra-taking patients came back to him to complain that, first, even though they were ready to play, it was too hard to find playmates, and second, when they did, the girls wanted to stay up so late partying that when the time came, it wasn't a question of able, it was a question of willing. As with all ED drugs, the MVP comes with warnings. If after 4 hours your skin is still drumhead tight and you can't stop grinding your teeth, please see a doctor. Preferably another doctor.
From Alonzo, MVP, the pill that doesn't just make you perform as if you have Viagra, but make you look as if you could. Your next story of the latest in prettification comes from Roxanne Roberts.
Is there anything more depressing than discovering a new way to feel bad about yourself? No, but here we go, thanks to your iPhone and plastic surgeon Robert Sagal. The Northern Virginia doctor invented what he calls the, quote, FaceTime facelift for aging boomers who suddenly discover their neck flab while using the smartphone video chat. He got the idea after his wife bought an iPhone 4 last year and, quote, didn't like the way she looked. The phone's camera angle captures, quote, heaviness, fullness, and sagging, unquote, but Sagal developed a custom nip and tuck that hides the neck scars. The Huffington Post reports the FaceTime users could skip the knife by holding the phone straight on, an old camera trick of CNN's Larry King. Or here's an even older trick, just talk on the phone, no camera, no flab.
The FaceTime facelift, special surgery just to make you look good when you're staring into your iPhone and talking to somebody you see there. And lastly, let's hear a story about modern beauty from Luke Burbank.
How do they do it, those skinny, beautiful people we see in the magazines? Where do they get the willpower to say, oh, no pizza for me. I caught 3 snowflakes on my tongue on the way over. I'm positively stuffed. Well, according to the Nissan Corporation, we can all have that discipline. With the Jiminy, yes, named for the cricket, a small electric device that shocks you anytime you get near a fast food drive-thru. The initial idea came quite by accident during Nissan's development of its new electric car when engineer Takashi Aoki realized the electrocharge heat built up working the line shocked him every time he tried to use the vending machine. He lost over 60 pounds in 1 year. The Jiminy utilizes cell phone GPS technology and Google Maps to keep you on your diet and looking beautiful. The reminder center, from which the shock is delivered, comes shaped like a stylish bracelet. Or for those Hollywood starlets already well used to it, an alcohol monitoring anklet.
All right, so here are your choices. One of these things is available to you to solve a relatively modern problem in a modern way. From Alonzo Bowden, the MVP, the pill that combines Viagra with Botox to make you look the way you feel. From Roxanne Roberts, the FaceTime facelift, plastic surgery specifically designed to improve the way you look while talking on video chat with your iPhone or iPad. And lastly, from Luke Burbank, a device that shocks you whenever you go near fast food to keep you looking svelte. Which of these is a modern beauty advance?
I'm going to go with number 2 with Roxanne.
You're going to go with Roxanne's story of the FaceTime facelift?
Yes.
Well, we spoke to the progenitor of this new technique.
People don't come in asking for a FaceTime facelift per se. I mean, what they'll say is like, I don't like the way I look when I'm video chatting.
That was Dr. Robert Siegel, I'm pleased to say. Not that Robert Siegel, a different Robert Siegel, who is providing the FaceTime facelift to willing customers in Virginia. Congratulations, Craig. You got it right. Well done.
Thank you.
I've just seen a face, I can't forget the time or place where we just met. She's just a girl for me, and I want all the world to see we've met.
And now the game where we ask important people about unimportant things. So one of the things we like to do on this show, when we can, is encourage people who are getting their start in public radio. So we're happy to have joining us today the host of a new podcast produced by WNYC in New York. It's called Here's the Thing. You know, it's an interview show with various artists, writers, and thinkers. The host is apparently an actor of some kind. Alec Baldwin, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Great to have you.
Public radio changes everything, doesn't it?
It really does. So I have to ask you, I followed your career for a long time, movies, TV, theater, and I have to ask, a podcast?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wanted this to end, and I thought, I'm tired. You know, I've been working a lot.
Yeah.
And I thought, what was the quickest way to kill my career? And I thought, podcast.
It's interesting because, you know, that's podcast is usually how people with no hope and no future begin, you know,
yeah.
When they run out of other options.
I'm bringing it full circle, Peter.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting. Did you study, like, public radio? I mean, of course, you're famous for the classic sweaty balls routine on Saturday Night Live some years ago. Did you study?
That's going to be on my tombstone.
Absolutely. Did you study like public radio persona in order to sort of make it in this competitive world of public radio?
Carl Castle is pretty much the Marlon Brando of public radio.
He is, actually.
It all begins with Carl.
He does. He lives on an island.
Carl, I want you to do me a favor, Carl. I want you to yell out, Stella!
Stella!
Go there.
I want to ask you about this because back in the 80s and 90s, you were playing leading men and villains. But now we're seeing you, you know, in comic roles like on 30 Rock. You're really funny. Was that there all along?
Well, I think that it's really is a singer-songwriter thing for us here, which is we have the best writers.
You're talking about 30 Rock, of course.
Yeah, 30 Rock. The writers are fantastic.
Well, but then there are all the times you've hosted Saturday Night Live. I'm going to argue with you because there are some moments.
Don't do it, dude.
No. Because he will kill
have
me.
Have you seen Glengarry Glen Ross?
I know. But really, no, you were really skilled. You're actually very good at voices. Is that a skill you always had?
Well, you know, I watched a lot of TV as a kid, and, you know, when I was younger, I'm older now, but when I was younger, let's face facts, I took a lot of drugs, Peter. I took
really?
Drugs.
And that helped.
So many drugs, and it does help. It opens up your mind quite a bit. It frees you up creatively. I'll send you some stuff, don't worry.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We read that you were the kind of actor, when you're doing big features, that did all the research for the role. Like when you're in The Hunt for Red October, you researched how to drive a sub. When you took the role of Jack Donaghy on 30 Rock, did you decide to research it by hanging out with powerful Republicans and drinking a lot of scotch?
Yeah, no, there's a little bit of that, but the character really, in terms of his behavior, is modeled largely on Lorne Michaels. When I have a line in the early seasons where I say, she says, "Why are you wearing a tuxedo?" And I say, "It's after six. What am I, a farmer?" That line really embodies the whole thing. That's Lorne. Lorne's one of those guys that has a tux in his glove compartment, you know, and he's out every night with the most famous swells in New York.
I noticed on last week's episode that, apropos of nothing, there was just a photo on your desk behind you that was you and Dominique Strauss-Kahn.
Yes, that's very good. I'm so glad you noticed that. That's one of the most fun things is every season we pick the most outrageously inappropriate people for me to be friends with. And we had Strauss-Kahn. We have me with my other favorite is Galliano. We have me with the designer Galliano.
Do you call them up and go, "Hey, we have a cameo for you in 30 Rock"? Because Dominique Strauss-Kahn, I'm sure he's never turned down an invitation to a party, right? He'd come over. I wanted to ask you, we haven't mentioned this so far, but you are, of course, from a famous acting family. Do all your brothers actors?
Well, I'll be the judge of that.
I understand. You act. Some of you others profess to have acted at some point in the future. We're not quite sure. Was there any, only because I have brothers, was there any sense of competition in this? Oh, he's going to be an actor, I'll go be an actor, damn it.
Well, I think my brothers were home, and in the early days when I was working on television, I did a soap opera in New York, and then I went to L.A. and did series TV. My brothers were home, you know, drinking a beer, watching me on TV, and they finally just looked at each other and said, "If Schmucko can do this, we can do this."
Really? I mean, I imagine that, you know, you have, what, four or five famous actors in one room. You must drop so many names the floor gives way, would be my expectation.
Well, my brothers are all they're from a different generation than I was from. When I first came into the business in the late 70s, I came to New York to study acting. There was still that very strong emphasis on having roots in the theater. And whenever I've done a play in New York over the last 25 years, my brothers would come and see me, and they would have a very, the theater to them is very quaint. They were like, "Well, that was a nice show. Good for you."
Yeah. Are you trying to...
I love when you do those things. What do you call them? Plays.
Yes. What are you trying to say about Biodome 2?
I had a movie out the same time as my brother had the movie Biodome come out at the same time I had a movie come out, and Biodome made more money.
Really?
Yeah.
What was your movie?
Ghosts of Mississippi with Rob Reiner.
Oh.
The civil rights movie, the Medgar Evers murder trial movie. Yeah, they made more money than us. So, you know, who knows, right?
You know, it's funny because I actually had a choice to bring my date to either Biodome or the Medgar Evers movie.
Yeah.
And I went for the Medgar Evers movie.
Yeah.
Because I'm a public radio guy.
And after that, I took your girlfriend to the Biodome movie.
Well, Alec Baldwin, we are delighted to talk to you, and we've asked you here to play a game that this time we're calling...
You must be mistaking me for one of my less talented brothers.
You, as we have said, came from a family of famous brothers, but the Baldwins are not the only notable band of brothers out there. We're going to ask you about three other sets of brothers. Answer these questions correctly, at least two of them. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's Voice, on their home voicemail. Carl, who is Alec Baldwin playing for?
Alec is playing for Barbara Taylor of Marshfield, Massachusetts.
All right. Ready to do this?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Now, many people are unaware of this, despite the fact we once discussed it on our show, but the rival Puma and Adidas athletic shoe companies were founded by brothers who hated each other. In fact, from 1947 until their deaths in the 70s, Rudolph and Addie Dassler refused to speak to each other. What was the reason for this split? Was it A, they had a fight about who got to use the family bomb shelter during a raid in World War II? B, Addie Dassler wanted 3 stripes on their shoes, Rudolph wanted 4? Or C, Rudolph Dassler disagreed with Addie Dassler's dream of making a thigh-high sprinter's shoe?
B, the 3 stripes versus the 4.
They said, 3 stripes. And I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 4. And they just yelled at each other and walked away and never spoke to each other?
I'm going with that.
Yeah, no, it was actually the bomb shelter.
Oh.
This is the story.
Oh my God.
So Rudolph and his family was in the shelter, and Adi and his family climbed into the shelter, and Rudolph said, quote, "The dirty bastards are back again." And Adi got insulted. Rudolph insisted he meant the Allied bombers, but Adi was not buying it. And they ceased to speak. That is a true story.
I'm going to tell that at every party for the next 6 months.
There you go. You have two more chances. Here we go. Some brothers work, shall we say, in different fields than their more famous siblings, such as which of these? A, John Wayne's brother, Remy Wayne, who was a florist in Des Moines. B, Jerry Falwell's brother, David, who was a Wiccan priest. Or C, Al Capone's brother, James, who was a federal prohibition agent.
Oh, mercy. I'm going to go with Capone, with C.
You're right. It was, in fact, Al Capone's brother, James. He was a federal agent.
Oh, I feel so much better now.
You're right. This is great.
I'm feeling loose now.
All right, Phil, you're relaxed. You're ready. You're ready to play. Here we go. Last question. You know about the Marx brothers. You may know about Zeppo Marx. He was the fourth brother who played straight man to the other three until he quit. Well, he went on to be a businessman and inventor. Among his inventions were which of these? A, a clamp that was used, among other things, to hold up the first atomic bomb before it was dropped out of the plane. B, the valve used in the modern rubber whoopee cushion. Or C, a mail order shoe company called Zeppo's.
Oh. Damn you, Peter. Damn ye.
Yes. I'm feeling quite damned.
Say A.
You're going to go A, the clamp used to hold up the first atomic bomb.
Yes.
Yes, you're right. That's what it was. It's called...
This is the greatest moment of my life.
It's called a Marmon clamp, not a Merman clamp, a Marmon clamp, and it was used, among other things, for the atomic bomb and the Enola Gay.
The Merman clamp was used for brassieres.
Exactly. Yes. And to hold down Ernest Borgnine for about a month, but that's another story. Carl, how did Alec Baldwin do in our quiz?
Well, congratulations, Alec. You had two correct answers, so you win for Barbara Taylor.
Oh.
I just want to say one thing before we let you go, is that I'm actually kind of annoyed that you got into radio, because this was for us, the unattractive people. And now you're screwing up the curve for us. We looked up your IMDb profile, and your bio starts with the phrase, raven-haired and suavely handsome, Alec Baldwin, blah, blah, blah. You're the only person in radio who's ever been called suavely handsome.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
Alec Baldwin, ladies and gentlemen. He is the host of the brand new podcast. It's called Here's the Thing. It's from NYC. Find it. Alec Baldwin, thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter.
In just a minute, Carl whispers limericks. And our listener limerick challenge, call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and CSX, transporting 2 billion pounds of goods to market by train and working to help move the economy forward. CSX, how tomorrow moves. The William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at Hewlett.org. And Esurance, an Allstate company, offering tools to help guide customers through the car insurance process from quote to claim. Learn more at Esurance.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Hi, I'm Armin Almy. More Republican delegates will be chosen on Super Tuesday than in all the caucuses and primaries held so far. If Romney can't wrap it up, how much longer can this go on? Next time on To the Point from Public Radio International.
Weeknights at 8 o'clock.
PRI's The World brings you voices from around the globe.
They're hiding these women, not just from their relatives who want to punish them.
It's your daily source for international news and a gateway to cultures beyond our borders.
I think I'll use my skills to also help others be connected to this global village.
I'm Marco Werman. Join me right here for the next edition of The World.
weeknights at 9 o'clock. You're listening to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me here on 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio. Support for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on WPLN comes from our listener members. Support the programming you value. With a pledge today, you could win a 7-day Mediterranean cruise for two. Cruise includes stops in Rome, Naples, Florence, Marseille, Barcelona, and more. Our springy pledge drawing is this Friday morning. Pledge now and enter at WPLN.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Luke Burbank, Roxanne Roberts, and Alonzo Bowden. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. In just a minute, Carl consoles Rick Santorum for his loss in Michigan in our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, a panel with some more questions for you from the week's news. Alonzo, possibly the worst case of cell phone use while driving ever happened this week when a man tweeted while driving where?
He was driving in a NASCAR race, and there was like an explosion in front of him.
Right.
And he tweeted about the explosion.
That's exactly right. Yes, NASCAR drivers approach 200 miles per hour while racing, and tweeting while driving is insanely dangerous in any case. But on the other hand, any pedestrian trying to cross Daytona International Speedway during a race has it coming. Driver Brad Keselowski used his phone to tweet pics of a crash and interact with fans, and then he used the phone's GPS to get directions for the rest of the race. Left. 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 Now, to be fair to Mr. Keselowski, the race was under a red flag. They were all stopped due to the crash. And the crash, though, was caused because a NASCAR driver, Tony Stewart, was distracted putting on mascara in his rearview mirror, which you should also never do.
You should not have a guy who's driving a NASCAR car tweet at any point during the race. Do we need more kind of like reinforcement that this is a good idea in the car?
I want to know. I mean, I don't know much about NASCAR, but I know that they're not normal cars. They got roll cages inside there. You're wearing these fireproof suits and helmets and Kevlar. And this guy's all kitted up to go race. He's like, oh, I got to bring my phone. What is he bringing his phone for?
That's what I wondered. Like, did the team even know? Because they check everything in the car, and they're like, he has a phone?
He has a thing he bought on SkyMall. It's a little holder for the phone. Okay, guys? He's not an idiot.
Luke, the Los Angeles Times told the story this week of a Las Vegas man who fancied himself a hitman for hire, and he was busted after he foolishly did what?
He was trying to be a hitman in Las Vegas?
Yes.
He just, okay. Take a hit out on Siegfried and Roy? Too soon?
Too soon. Well, it's the 21st century. What's the first thing you did to set up a business?
He had some kind of online.
Yes, he created business. He created the website hitmanforhire.net.
What's amazing is hitmanforhire.com was taken.
Apparently.
But he still went for it.
A note on the homepage read, "Thanks to the internet, ordering a hit has never been easier." The Las Vegas poker dealer thought he'd devised the perfect solution to his lagging killing-for-money business. Didn't take long for the FBI to track him down. All they had to do was click on the arrest me link on the homepage.
Isn't this why the mob is truly going broke? First they lose the gambling in Vegas. Now the hits are going online.
Yeah, it's going online. And it's such a shame because although, you know, the bricks and mortar mom and pop hitman businesses can't compete with the internet. They're undercutting their prices.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I always shop locally for my assassins. It costs a little more, but I think it adds to the community that we have people involved in retail murder.
Well, I go down on Saturday mornings to the farmer's market and get mine just to
Because you want them, you want your hits locally sourced.
Yeah, fresh.
It's only a matter of time before Amazon is providing hits with free shipping.
Oh, it's terrible. Alonzo, people use Facebook to choose dates or parties to go to, but pretty soon you'll be able to use Facebook profiles to help you choose what?
Well, they're coming out with this new ad campaign, so wouldn't it be to choose anything?
No. This is a specific purpose that Facebook is being put to. Excuse me. Let me give you a hint. I mean, you'll be looking for someone when you go on Facebook to do this search. You're looking for someone who never needs to get up to use the bathroom and hates to even touch the shared armrest.
Oh, that's airline seats.
Yes.
You can partner with somebody
exactly
on an airline.
Exactly right.
If you have common interests or if they... Women really like a creepy guy next to them.
Right.
Talking for 2 hours as they're trapped in a seat. Because a lot of women are going to sign up for that.
Yeah, absolutely. The Dutch airline KLM is launching Meet and Seat, which would also be a good name for a steakhouse. Users upload their Facebook data, and you can look at it to decide who you want to sit next to. KLM hopes people will use it for networking. You know, you say, oh, look, it's an insurance salesman. I'm in need of insurance. I will sit next to him. But this is going to be a disaster because if you think about it, the only thing worse than sitting next to a stranger for 4 hours is sitting next to a stranger who really wants to sit next to you.
So what's your strategy for politely not talking to the person on the plane next to you?
I actually get on the plane with my headphones on and an angry look.
The other thing you can do, if this is imposed on us, is leverage your Facebook profile to get a row all to yourself. Likes, frequent urination, air sickness. Dislikes, bathing.
I had that guy on the way out here.
Did you really? Luke, a hospital in Stockholm, Sweden, caused a bit of a stir when it posted a help wanted ad for nurses that are what?
My first just gut reaction is sexy.
Yes. They actually posted an ad looking for, and this is the standard they use, TV series hot. If this seems wildly sexist and discriminatory, that's because it is. The sexy nurse is, of course, a classic, you know, trope, much like the sexy French maid, or the naughty crossing guard, or the magnetically attractive public radio host. having a sexy nurse wouldn't do anybody any good, though, in the real world.
Under what circumstance would it be bad?
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago. And you can check out the How to Do Everything podcast. This week, Mike and Ian present the one and only correct way to eat an Oreo cookie. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Al Yurum calling from San Francisco, California.
Hey, I was just in San Francisco. Beautiful place. What do you do there?
I'm a software developer for Facebook.
Are you really?
Yeah.
So you must be worth billions by now.
I wish.
Is there like some sort of hierarchy at Facebook between the people who got the stock options and the people who didn't?
I really just don't know. I'm just happy to be working on the website. I
mean, Zuckerberg's got you terrified.
You can't say anything.
It's great. I just love being there.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show, Al. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a big winner. Ready to play?
Sure am.
Here's your first limerick.
The business class flyer rejoices. The crew won't be blaring food choices. When roaming the aisles, it's silence and smiles. They're learning to lower their...
voices.
Right. Learning to lower their voices. Very good. Help its flight attendants create a calmer first-class cabin. Virgin has hired professional whisper coach Richard Fitzgerald to train them in whispering. You have to wonder what it was like in first class, or upper class as I call it, to make them want to hire a whisper coach. What were the guys doing? It was like, moist towels, get them while they're steamy. Yo, 2B, you want some hot nuts? We need to bring in the whisper coach and get this straightened out.
It's just one more way to make the people in coach feel worse about themselves.
Hey, would you like your free meal and a cocktail? You only get that up here. All right, very good, Al. Here is your next limerick.
When relationships turn into wrecks,
My feelings for things grow complex. Some shoes have a sting, not to mention the ring. So I'll sell all the gifts from my...
ex.
Right. The website neverlikedityanyway.com is your one-stop shop for selling stuff your ex gave you, complete with stories of betrayal and heartbreak. You can buy wedding dresses, wedding rings, and a variety of romantic gifts from people who found out too late that their spouse was a jerk or a cheat or that he bought them a used wedding ring from neverlikedityanyway.com. Al, here is your last limerick.
The orangutan dad wonders, why sad? What is wrong with the tire swing I had? We just scratch and eat fruit. There's no need to compute. So what do you want with an...
iPad.
Right! Very good. Orangutans at zoos in Milwaukee and Toronto are getting iPads. Ostensibly to monitor their ability to interact with shapes and colors and, of course, to make them seem more human. Look, honey! Orangutans mate for life and ignore their mate to play with their iPads, just like us. So far, the program has been successful. Orangutans are learning the art of mindless tweeting, and they're really excelling at the app Angry Poop. Fling. Carl, how did Al do in our quiz?
Al, you were perfect. 3 correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done, Al. Congratulations. Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our panelists has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Carl, please, what are the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Luke Burbank and Roxanne Roberts both have 3 points. Alonzo Bowden has 2.
All right. Alonzo, you are up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Each answer is now worth 2 points. Fill in the blank. This week, Kim Jong-un, the new leader of blank, agreed to suspend that country's nuclear programs.
North Korea.
Right. In what turned out to be a case of mistaken identity, U.S. officials arrested an Egyptian man suspected of being a senior leader in blank.
Al-Qaeda.
Right. On Thursday, the Senate killed a bill that would limit employer coverage for blank.
Contraception.
Right. Best known as the English member of the Monkees, adorable teen idol blank, died on Wednesday at age 66.
Davy Jones.
Right. A soccer player in Georgia was arrested for theft after she was caught leaving a cafe with blank.
Ooh. Laptop?
No, hash browns in her pants. Stores across the country offered 29-cent specials and giveaways to celebrate blank on Wednesday.
Leap Day.
Yes, the Deer Park Police Station in Texas set up a top-secret sting operation to investigate blank.
Reading.
No. They wanted to investigate who was stealing stuff out of the break room fridge. Those missing lunches and sodas were no joke to Deer Park Police Chief Greg Griggs, so he authorized a top-secret sting with decoy snacks and hidden cameras. After successfully busting a thieving cop, one of their own, and charging him with misdemeanor theft, Chief Griggs is now considering another sting to determine which low-life officer is cooking fish in the staff room microwave. Carl, how did Alonzo do in our quiz?
Alonzo had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 12 points, and Alonzo has the lead.
Well done. All right, Alonzo. We flipped a coin, and Luke has elected to go next. So, fill in the blank. On Tuesday and Wednesday, communities in the Midwest were hit hard by a series of blank.
Tornadoes.
Right. Russia announced this week it had thwarted an assassination plot against blank.
Putin.
Right. 5 million emails from the U.S.-based global security think tank Stratfor were the latest to be published by the anti-secrecy group blank.
WikiLeaks.
Right. A Southwest Airlines pilot caused panic on a flight last week when his birthday greeting to a, quote, mom on board was heard by passengers as blank.
Bomb on board.
Right. Conservative blogger... and web publisher blank died in Los Angeles Thursday at the age of 43.
Andrew Breitbart.
Right. A Texas man voluntarily surrendered to authorities in North Carolina 3 years after allegedly embezzling blank.
Hash browns.
No. Close. Meatballs and anchovy dip. The charges say that in 2009, while working at the Skibo Skillet restaurant in Fayetteville, North Carolina, the meatball embezzler, quote, did fraudulently misapply and convert to his own use meatballs, corn on the cob, anchovy dip, and trout whiting fillet. Those close to the embezzler had become suspicious in the intervening years when he was always paying for everything with meatballs. Carl, how did Luke do in our quiz?
Luke had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 13 points, and Luke has taken the lead.
All right, so, very good, Luke. How many then does Roxanne need to win, as I know she really wants to do?
She needs 5 to tie, 6 to win outright.
Here we go, Roxanne. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. For the first time since 2008, the blank closed above 13,000 on Tuesday.
The Dow Jones.
Right. Because of a deteriorating situation between the government and civilians, on Tuesday, the UN called for a humanitarian ceasefire in blank.
Afghanistan.
No, Syria. On Thursday, Maryland became the 8th state in the U.S. to legalize blank.
Same-sex marriage.
Right, the silent film The Artist. And Angelina Jolie's right leg were the big winners at this year's blank ceremony.
Academy Awards.
Yes, a man successfully robbed a string of banks near Washington by threatening the tellers with a blank.
Chalupa.
With a nuclear weapon. Jan Berenstain, the co-author of more than 300 books about the Berenstain blanks, died this week at age 88.
Bears.
Right, Melissa Gilbert and Jaleel White of Urkel fame were among those named as contestants on the next season of blank.
Dancing with the Stars.
Right. Scientists at CERN this week said that a discovery of a faster-than-light particle last year was caused by a blank.
Oh, like a bug or something.
No, it was actually a loose cable. So the reason the basic laws of the universe seem to be overturned turned out to be the same reason you're not getting a good picture when you're watching Hoarders. Cable was loose.
Okay.
They screwed it in. Looking back, scientists now believe that it wasn't gravity Sir Isaac Newton discovered. Somebody just threw an apple at him. Carl, did Roxanne do well enough to win?
Roxanne had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. She now has 13 points, so she and Luke Burbank are this week's co-champions.
Well done. Leading out Eliza. Now, we hear that Fox, the Fox Network, is developing a sitcom that takes place at NPR. So, that's true. In just a minute, though, we're going to ask our panelists to predict the plot of the first episode. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Angie's List, with reviews on local contractors and doctors in 500 categories, with ratings based only on member feedback, angieslist.com. The Park Foundation, dedicated to heightening public awareness of critical issues at parkfoundation.org. And WNYC, presenting Alec Baldwin's new podcast series, Here's the Thing, with guests like Lorne Michaels and Chris Rock, heresthething.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, the smoking hot babe of NPR. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Assistant house manager, Jessica McLeod. Our intern is Kate Casey. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Stolarczyk and Mohammed Mao. Special thanks this week to Mr. Gary Yek. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog, the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, is Mike, also a babe, Danforth. Now, panel, what will happen on the pilot of this Fox show about NPR? Luke Burbank.
Absolutely zero temptation island.
Roxanne Roberts.
Welcome to Family Reties. Michael J. Fox stars in this wacky comedy about a conservative talk show host juggling his aging hippie parents and his possibly liberal son, an NPR pledge drive director.
And Alonzo Bowden.
Unbalanced, a new Fox sitcom about NPR. In the pilot episode, 3 liberal professors and a gay priest go undercover at a NASCAR race and are found out when someone asks directions to a local gun show and they don't know the way. Bill O'Reilly will be guest starring as God.
And if any of that happens, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carol Castro. Thanks also. Luke Burbank, Alonzo Bowden, Roxanne Roberts. Thanks all of you for listening. We're glad you did. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.
And celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma,
91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all of our programs. Listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, Yoichi Funabashi, the man who led Japan's top investigation into the Fukushima nuclear disaster, gives us the inside story of a national tragedy, plus the special effects wizard behind Blade Runner, 2001 A Space Odyssey, The Tree of Life, and more on the shape-shifting future of the movies. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Weekday mornings from 9 till 11. Nashville weather for this afternoon, a 20% chance of showers after 3 o'clock, otherwise partly sunny and the high in the mid-50s. Right.